بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على محمد خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, the Lord of Al-Alamin, of all that exists. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. May Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be upon him, his household, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. We continue the discussions on the Sunnah and on its preservation, and on this night, the night of the 16th of Muharram, 1426, after the Hijrah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, we'll talk about the role of the companions in the preservation of the Sunnah. The companions had a great and keen interest in the Hadith. The companions had a great and keen interest in the Hadith. Abu Shuraih, may Allah be pleased with him, told Amr bin Sa'id, "O chief, allow me to tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said on the day following the conquest of Mecca." Listen now what he says. "My ears heard, and my heart comprehended, and I saw him with my own eyes when he said," and then he narrated the narration. The point of evidence here to make from this is, my ears heard, and my heart comprehended, and I saw him with my own eyes when he said such and such. So this shows the keen interest in the narration and of its checking. Also, we learn from the narration reported by Abi Hurairah, when he asked the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, "Ya Rasulullah, man أسعد الناس بشفاعتك يوم القيامة?" He said, "O Allah's Messenger, who will gain your intercession on the day of resurrection?" قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم responded, "لقد ضمنت يا أبا هريرة أن لا يسألني عن هذا الحديث أحد أول منك لما رأيت من حرصك على الحديث." O Abu Hurairah, I have thought none will ask me about it before you. And then comes the point of evidence. As I know your eagerness to learn hadith. As I know your eagerness to learn hadith. Then the Prophet ﷺ continued, "The luckiest person who will have my intercession on the day of resurrection will be man qala la ilaha illallah khalisan min qalbihi aw nafsihi." The luckiest person who will have my intercession on the day of resurrection will be the one who said sincerely from the bottom of his heart, "La ilaha illallah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah." And this is an agreed upon hadith. And the point of evidence to make here is, as I know your eagerness to learn hadith. So there is, these are just a few examples on their great and keen interest, meaning the companions, may Allah be pleased with all of them, in learning the hadith. Secondly, studying it. Studying the hadith. The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with all of them, the companions used to study the hadith with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and with each other, referring that which they didn't understand to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam so that he can explain. عن ابن أبي مليكة, may Allah be pleased with him, أن عائشة زوج النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, كانت لا تسمع شيئا لا تعرفه إلا راجعت فيه حتى تعرفه.
When Aisha heard anything which she did not understand, she used to ask again till she understood completely. And this is the point of evidence. She used to ask again till or until she understood completely. And Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said, كُنَّا نَكُونُ عِنْدَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فَنَسْمَعُ مِنْهُ الْحَدِيثِ فَإِذَا قُمْنَا تَذَاكَرْنَاهُ فِي مَا بَيْنَنَا حَتَّى نَحْفَظُ. Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said, when we used to be with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, we would hear the hadith from him, and when we finished, we studied it with each other until we memorized it. This was mentioned by Al-Hafidh Al-Baghdadi. This was reported by Al-Hafidh Al-Baghdadi rahimahullah in his book Al-Jami' li-Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami'. In his book Al-Jami' li-Akhlaq al-Rawi wa Adab al-Sami'. So there is the effort to study, the clear effort to study the hadith. So there is the first, the great interest in hadith. The second is the great interest in studying it. Thirdly, there is the dua, the invocation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to strengthen the memorization of hadith by the memorizers. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to invoke Allah to strengthen the faculty of memorization of some of his companions. Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah related that Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, said, Ya Rasulullah, inni asma'u minka hadithan kathiran ansah. قال ابسط رداءك فبسطته قال فغرف بيديه ثم قال ضمه فضممته فما نسيت شيئا بعده. He told the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, I hear many narrations, many hadiths from you, but I forget them. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, spread your رداء, spread your garment. I did accordingly, and then he moved his hands as if filling them with something, and emptied them in my rida, in my garment, and then said, take and wrap this sheet over your body. Take and wrap this sheet over your body. I did, and after that I never forgot anything. And after that, I never forgot anything. This is reported by Al-Bukhari. Fourthly, the reservation of the companions in narrating the hadith. The reservation of the companions in narrating the hadith. The companions, the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with all of them, were very cautious in narrating the hadith and their verification of it, lest they fall in error, and as a way of safeguarding the sunnah against anything foreign. Abdul Rahman bin Abi Layla said, quote, I met 120 of the Ansar, of the companions, of the helpers. From the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, none of them was asked about something except that he would prefer for his brother to spare him, meaning from the answer, and that he would not narrate anything of the Prophet's sayings except that his brother spare him for that. And this is reported by Ibn Abd al-Barr in Jami' Bayan al-Ilm and in Sunan al-Darimi. It has been mentioned. It has been mentioned that upon finishing relating the hadith text, Anas bin Malik used to say, quote, "Or as was said by Allah's Messenger." End of quote. Look at the wording. Or after narrating, after relating the hadith text, Anas bin Malik used to say, quote, "Or as was said by Allah's Messenger." End of quote. And this is reported by Ibn Majah and authenticated by Al-Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah. And also from the story which was reported by Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, where he said, "Kuntu fi majlisin min majalis al-Ansar." Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, "While I was present in one of the gatherings of the Ansar, the helpers, the companions in Medina, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came. إذ جاء أبو موسى كأنه مذعور." Came as if he was scared and said, "استأذنت على عمر ثلاثا فلم يؤذن لي فرجعت." I asked permission to enter upon Umar three times, but I was not given permission, so I returned. When Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, came to know about it, he said to Abu Musa, "Why didn't you enter?" Abu Musa replied, "I asked permission three times and I was not given it, so I returned, for Allah's Messenger said, 'If anyone of you asks the permission to enter thrice and the permission is not given, then he should return.'" Umar said, "By Allah, we will ask Abu Musa to bring witness to this." Abu Musa went to a gathering of the Ansar and said, "Did anyone of you hear this from the Prophet ﷺ?" Because Umar wants a witness. Ubay bin Ka'b said, "By Allah, none will go with you but the youngest of the people as a witness. I, the narrator of the hadith," meaning I, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, "I was the youngest of them. I was the youngest of them. So I went with Abi Musa and informed Umar that the Prophet ﷺ had said so." And in another narration in Imam Malik's Muwatta, Umar told Abu Musa, quote, "I didn't accuse you, but I was afraid that people may forge false sayings concerning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." It is evident that they were cautious regarding the verification and the transmission of the Sunnah, and that's why they exerted the effort to investigate. Fifthly, traveling to hear hadith. Some of the companions sought to collect the hadith from those qualified with high transmissions, meaning only few narrators to the Prophet ﷺ in the chain. Jabir bin Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him, traveled a distance of 1 month to the greater Syria area, to the land of Sham. When he heard that a companion of the Prophet ﷺ had one hadith, Jabir said, "Listen to this. I bought a donkey and saddled it, put the saddle on, and set out for him, for the companion, in Asham, in the greater Syria area, in a journey that took 1 month. There I came to him," to this companion he was seeking, "and he was," now he names his name, "and he was Abdullah bin Unais," or Unais, may Allah be pleased with him. "So I told the doorkeeper, 'Tell him that Jabir is at the door.' He said, surprised, 'The son of Abdullah?' Meaning Jabir, the son of Abdullah. I said, 'Yes.' So he came out dragging his garment, hugged me and I hugged him. Allahu Akbar. Then I said, I heard that you have a hadith that you heard from Allah's messenger concerning qiyas, or concerning qisas, the law of equality of punishment in Islam. So I was afraid that you die or I die before I hear it. Allahu Akbar. So I was afraid that you die or I die before I hear it. Sixthly, in the hadith from Abdullah bin Umar, قال كنت أكتب رضي عبد الله بن عمر كنت أكتب كل شيء أسمعه من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أريد حفظه فنهتني قريش وقالوا أتكتب كل شيء تسمعه ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بشر يتكلم في الغضب والرضا فأمسكت عن الكتاب فذكرت ذلك لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأومأ بإصبعه إلى فيه فقال اكتب فوالذي نفسي بيده ما يخرج منه إلا حق.
This is reported by Abu Dawud. In this